Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we're up at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls to learn about the Vietnam 50th Anniversary Exhibit opening July 18th this year. And we're going to talk about that for most of the show, but first it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Our Minnesota National Guard is continually working to enhance partnerships throughout our communities. In no case are these partnerships more important than at Camp Ripley. Camp Ripley is a 53,000-acre regional training facility for our military, federal, state, local, and civilian communities. A lot of events happen at Camp Ripley. The Camp Ripley's Visitor Bureau is a flurry of activity as they work to report on many, many events each month for the Ripley Reporter online magazine. But it doesn't stop there. Our community media outlets around Camp Ripley have stepped up to take an active role in sharing what happens on base. The Brainerd Dispatch runs weekly stories, and KLTF Radio in Little Falls airs stories frequently. Even the area cable access station welcomes our Minnesota National Guard leadership into their studio monthly for interviews about what is happening at Camp Ripley. These partnerships in the communication community around Camp Ripley are remarkable. Don't get me wrong, I see news stories about our units and about our yellow ribbon networks in medium and small town newspapers and across airwaves statewide. But I today want to thank the Camp Ripley community for sharing our stories and ensuring the sustainability of this state's resource.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls to learn about the 50th Anniversary Vietnam Exhibit, which will open July 18th this year. And my co-host for this show is Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, welcome back to the show.
It's always good to be back with you, Tom.
Commissioner, I know we talked some months ago when we learned there was going to be a new Vietnam exhibit. As our frequent listeners know, you served as a young lieutenant in Vietnam, and I was an NCO in Vietnam, and we've got another guest with us today, the curator of the Minnesota Military Museum, Doug Becky, and you're also, Doug, welcome to the show, and you're also a Vietnam veteran.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Yes, I was there at the end of the war.
And I was there a little after you.
That's right.
But the commissioner was there early. So, Commissioner, when we learned that he was putting together a big Vietnam exhibit up here, wasn't too hard to get you to volunteer to come up and join us for the show.
No, this is a long time overdue, and I just had the honor of doing a quick walkthrough of the exhibit, the work that's being done, and it's excellent, absolutely excellent. In fact, it's... I think a lot of people, if they were to come up here and take a look at it, family members will say, well, why are you so quiet? And I would say that most of the veterans that come here and look at it are flashing back as to memories and good times, too, many good times. We had an earlier discussion on that recipes for sea rations and those types of things. So, but a lot of young men grew up a number of years ago.
We did, sir. And Doug, let's tell the listeners about the Minnesota Military Museum. You're on Camp Ripley on the post. It's open to visitors. What hours is it open?
From the 1st of July, or excuse me, the 1st of May until the end of September. We're open 7 days a week from 10 to 5. And then the winter schedule is from 9 to 4 on Thursdays and Fridays, or special tours are always welcome. They can set up they can arrange a special visit.
So when our listeners are going back and forth to Brainerd and the Lakes area and from the cities and all over the state, all you have to do is get off of Highway 10 at the Camp Ripley exit and come on and go to the main gate and tell them that you want to go see the Minnesota Military Museum, and they'll give you a pass, and you go straight down the road. It's up on your right, and you can see all kinds of tanks and helicopters, and inside you cover almost every war. Tell us about it a little bit, will you?
Well, the museum was founded in 1977, and it's really is a very nice museum. We take a lot of pride in our exhibits. The earliest exhibits covers the first contact with the Native Americans in the state, and then the military involvement at Fort Snelling, and then goes through the Gulf Wars, the current wars. That is actually one of our problems, that we're running out of room, and we need history. There's always more history, but there's not always enough room. And so we're struggling to find a way to cover current events and future events. But we have a special exhibit right now on the Civil War that'll be coming down in October. And we'll start work on a World War I exhibit. But as we mentioned earlier, the big project right now is getting the Vietnam exhibit opened. And that's dealing with the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon in 1975 and the 50th anniversary of the start of major U.S. Buildup in 1965. So it covers quite a bit of ground, but our exhibit actually goes back to 1945. We found the first Minnesotan to be involved in Vietnam was Leif Eide. And Leif was a member of the OSS. He was an OSS operational team. And he was on the radio man on the team that dropped into Hanoi on the 10th of August, 1945, and had VJ Day in a hotel in Hanoi. And then it goes to a man that was in the 11th Airborne Division, was preparing to jump into Dien Bien Phu had they been needed, had we decided to get involved there. Then to a sailor who in 1954, after the peace, was evacuating refugees out of Haiphong Harbor back down to Saigon. And then a 1960 Special Forces soldier who was working as an advisor in Laos. And then it picks up to the early 60s and through our involvement to 1975. And it ends with now a Vietnamese-American who was evacuated off the roof of the embassy with his family as an 11-year-old.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're recording today from the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls. And we're up here to learn about the Vietnam 50th Anniversary exhibit that opens July 18th. And we'd encourage all of our listeners, as you're passing through Little Falls or anywhere near Camp Ripley, just come out to the main gate, come on in, and take a look at this fascinating Minnesota Military Museum. And we're talking today with Commissioner Larry Shelliteau and the curator of the Minnesota Military Museum, Doug Becky. Commissioner, I've been in the museum several times now, but there's a lot of information in there about your Red Bulls, too, aren't there? Isn't there?
Yes. There's, well, the whole exhibit. I mean, the Red Bulls. Minnesota has been significant from the Civil War all the way through World War II. The Red Bulls, General Jack Vesey, his role, all of those things are very, very important, very key.
And Doug, this new exhibit is going to be up for a few years, is that right?
About 4 years. It replaces the third major 34th Division exhibit, which didn't really go away. It just moved. It's in the new education center at Camp Ripley. So if someone comes here and they want to learn about 34th Division, they can go up there and see the exhibit up there now.
Yeah, the 34th really in World War II was in the Italian zone and came through Anzio. And actually holds the record for the longest deployed unit in World War II.
The most number of days in actual combat during World War II. And they fought their way through Africa and Italy and engaged, 18 divisions, I think, of the German army that weren't otherwise available to fight off the invasion of Normandy.
And another little trivia is the Red Bulls was probably one of, if not the major supplier, very close to it, of the original Darby's Rangers.
That I didn't know. Doug, you haven't told us that story.
Oh, yeah. Didn't come up yet, but now it's come up. Yeah, they were formed in Northern Ireland. The 34th Division was the first American unit sent overseas. They were all after Pearl Harbor was December 7th, 1941, and in early January they were already on their way to Northern Ireland. And Darby was there as an advisor, and he was tasked to form the Rangers, and he took the Rangers from the units that were there. So it was largely the 34th Division, as well as some from the 1st Armored Division that was training there. So there's a lot of Ranger veterans from the 1st, 3rd, and 4th Battalions from Minnesota and Iowa.
And one of the soldiers that fought in Africa and Italy was who we know now as General John Vesey.
That's correct.
And he served at one point the longest-serving Army person, 46 years, something like that, I believe. And when you have your grand opening, and you're going to have a ceremony, when is that, Doug, and who are your speakers?
The opening ceremony will be on the 18th of July, 11 o'clock in the morning. And General Shelliteau has graciously volunteered to speak, and General Vesey will be here to speak.
And, of course, General Vesey was the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs Staff under Ronald Reagan. And after that, he also took on a special assignment to track down the KIAs and the missing in actions over in Vietnam. So I would think that this exhibit is near and dear to him as well.
Absolutely. He went to Vietnam as a lieutenant colonel and was very shortly engaged in a major battle and won the Distinguished Service Cross.
All right, gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dig into this Vietnam 50th anniversary exhibit. This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we are at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls to learn about the 50th anniversary exhibit opening July 18th this year, and we encourage you all to come. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today, we're at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls to learn about the Vietnam 50th anniversary exhibit opening July 18th this year. And my co-host for the show is Larry Shelto, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And we've been visiting with the curator of the Minnesota Military Museum, Doug Becky. Doug, we're going to come back to this military museum, Minnesota Military Museum. It's the best kept secret in Minnesota. What's the problem? How come people don't know about it?
Well, we're in central Minnesota. We're in the geographic center of Minnesota, but usually people coming by this area are on their way someplace else. It's Friday night. They're desperate to get up to their cabin and cut the grass or go fishing or whatever they have to do, and so they pass us by. And the other issue is that they often think that they're not allowed as civilians to come to Camp Ripley. But sometimes people will hear, oh, yeah, we went to Camp Ripley last week and went to the museum, and you should go there too, and they come here and they're very, very surprised. They often think that it's just a small little museum and that it's probably not open to the public, but they come here and they're always impressed. It's a marvelous museum. It really is. We had someone here last week who had been to many, many military museums all over the country, to include, he mentioned, West Point, and he was more impressed with our museum. So.
Well, you could spend a lot of time in there because there's a lot of rooms in all the different wars, from Civil War to Vietnam to the current conflicts. And for our listeners, once again, if you're coming up to central Minnesota, this is just north of Little Falls. You get off on the Camp Ripley exit, follow the signs to the main gate, and you'll see signs that say Minnesota Military Museum. Stop at the main gate, check in with them. They'll give you a pass, and you go straight down the road just a little ways, and pretty soon you'll see the tanks and the all the gear outside. And, of course, then there's inside. There's some exhibits in there as well. And Commissioner, you've probably spent a little time wandering around there yourself.
I have, and I've done it with my grandkids. And I want everyone to know that have grandkids. They just love this place. They really, really enjoy it. So, and it's educational, and it's I like it because I bond with the kids.
Sure, get to spend some good quality time.
Quality time with them, and what's this, what's that, and explain it.
They can see the weapons from the different wars. They can see uniforms. They can see everything.
A grandpa's greatest gift is lifting those kids up and putting them in the seat of that Huey that he flew around in country. So
you actually told your grandkids some stories about when you were in Vietnam, sir?
Yes, some of them.
Some of them. Okay. Doug, tell me again about you're going to have an opening ceremony on July 18th?
July 18th at 11 o'clock in the morning, we'll have the opening ceremony. The museum will open at 10. The opening ceremony is at 11. Then we'll have food here, outside displays, special exhibits set up. We'll have some of the vehicles opened up. The helicopters will be opened up. And we're hoping to have a really good crowd of especially Vietnam veterans here. And we found that there's a real good sense of camaraderie when people get together. And we're hoping to have a great day for the Vietnam veterans. And we found a lot of interest in this. I think the time is right for this exhibit. And we have to thank General Shelito for it, too, because a few years ago he was talking to our director and mentioned, the 40th anniversary is coming up and the 50th anniversary is coming up, and I should think about doing something. And the light bulb went on, and we thought, yeah, that's right, we should do something. And so that was the start of this, and now it's going to happen. So we're about a week away.
So once again, that ceremony is July 18th at 11 a.m. It's open to the public, and the Minnesota Military Museum is open to the public. And Doug gave us the summer hours. They're pretty good. What were your summer hours again?
10 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, 7 days a week, from the 1st of May till the end of September.
And everybody is welcome. As I said, just check in at the main gate. They'll show you where to go. Spend some quality time with your children, your grandchildren at the Minnesota Military Museum. And at that cemetery, a ceremony, that's going to be a good opportunity to listen to retired Major General Larry Shelido, now the commissioner, and retired General John Vesey talk about their experience in Vietnam and this Vietnam exhibit. So, Doug, back to the exhibit. You've covered in there from the start of the war, from the end of World War II to the 1975, the end of the Vietnam War, and you've got uniforms and flak vests and stories. You've got all kinds of information in there in your special exhibit.
And the stories are the main focus of this exhibit, that I've spent the last year trying to collect stories from Vietnam veterans and then edit them down to small vignettes and let them, in their words, tell the stories. So we have back to, as I mentioned earlier, back to 1945, and then up to 1975, we have officers, enlisted men, men, women. One of the people that sent me a story was one of only 36 female Marines who served in Vietnam. So, and the only Minnesota female Marine that served in Vietnam. Helicopter pilots, infantrymen, supply clerks, and they tell their stories, and they can be about anything. Some of them chose to write stories about their pets in Vietnam. Some of them chose to write stories about meals, what they ate. One guy wrote a story about why he insisted that his children would learn to type, because he didn't get the assignment that would have been a gushy assignment had he been able to type. So it's all kinds of stories, and they're fascinating to read. Some are touching, some are humorous, some are sad, some are happy. But it's the voices of the veterans speaking themselves about their time in Vietnam and their homecomings.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and today we're up at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls to learn about the Vietnam 50th Anniversary Exhibit opening July 18th this year. And once again, that Minnesota Military Museum is open to the public. The ceremony on the 18th is open to the public. Come on up, get off Highway 10 and go to the main gate and come on in. You're welcome. A little later in the show, we'll talk to the base commander of Camp Ripley, and I'm sure he'll tell our listeners that you don't have to be a veteran to come in here, and you don't have to be a serviceman. Come on in and see the Minnesota Military Museum. And Doug, ordinarily, you've said that you have school groups come through the museum, and when the public comes through, there's a small charge. As I understand it, the museum is a 501c3 nonprofit, and so you have to charge for some of the work that you're doing, but yeah. Is there a special deal for Vietnam veterans?
The day of the opening.
The day of
Vietnam
the opening.
Veterans are free of the day of the opening. So
let's get back to the Vietnam exhibit. Tell us a little bit more about what's in there and the stories. And I know we were over there with the commissioner earlier and with another guest that's coming up on the next segment, the commander of the Vietnam Veterans of America, and there were a lot of stories being talked about from 40-some years ago.
Yeah. It's where do you start? I mean, there's so many stories, and especially when I think about all the people that I've talked to or collected stories from over the last few months, my head's kind of swimming in all these stories. Now, when there's five of us here that are Vietnam veterans, and we were over in the exhibit area talking, and all of a sudden the stories start flooding out, and I think it exemplifies the paradox of doing interviews or getting veterans together, because always you hear, well, they don't talk about it, they won't talk about it. But when you get them together, they don't stop talking about it, and they feed off each other, and the stories just start to flow. And so I think that's one of the good things that comes out of these exhibits, too, that it gets people talking, and they start documenting things that were important in their life, and usually military service is at the top of the list. But often people don't have a vehicle to preserve their stories or to pass them on to their children. And sometimes it's difficult to talk within a family about your life. So an exhibit like this and a project like this can serve a good purpose in getting people talking and recording some of these stories and hopefully starting the process within the family of recording other stories.
Even some of the simple things like sea rations. I haven't thought about sea rations for a long time. Have you, Commissioner?
And how long time. How long did we just talk about sea rations and cooking them?
Oh, and different recipes.
And different recipes, yeah.
And I didn't hear anybody say anything about the P-38 to open up the cans.
We've got a P-38 in the exhibit.
Yep.
They're there.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be an exciting exhibit for our Vietnam veterans and for all the public to come stop by the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley.
Yep.
Commissioner, I know that I'm already thinking about some old stories from being over there. It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is, and I encourage the veterans to come but also bring your family, you know, and because there's something about the exhibit that, you know, my guidance to the family is if you ask your veteran about something, then just stop and listen. That's key. But all of a sudden, it's like with the grandkids, what's this about? What's that about? And that is a tool that opens up and sort of like you have permission to talk about it. And that becomes significant. So it's also part of the healing process. So this is absolutely a tremendous thing to do, and it's also a very, very important thing to do.
Doug, we've got about a minute left in this segment. Any final thoughts for our listeners? I hope you get a good turnout up here for your ceremony and lots of people stop in this summer.
Well, a lot of it's going to be outside, so we're hoping for a beautiful Minnesota July day. Light, puffy clouds and about 70 degrees. So we'll
talk
we'll
to the chaplain and see if he can put in a good word for you.
We're saying our prayers. But, yes, I encourage Vietnam veterans to come and talk about their experiences, and I hope the families come and the families listen when they start talking and use what they hear as a way to get them to talk more about their lives when they get home.
And once again, that ceremony for the opening of the 50th Anniversary Vietnam Exhibit is July 18th at 11 a.m. at the Minnesota Military Museum on Camp Ripley in Little Falls. And you'd like as many people to come up and join you as possible.
Yes, we would.
Doug, you're doing a great job up here. Glad to have you on Minnesota Military Radio again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be back with the commander of the Vietnam Veterans of America of Minnesota and more with the commissioner when we return. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're recording from the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls. And we're up here to learn about the Vietnam 50th Anniversary Exhibit, which is opening July 18th this year, 11 a.m. It's open to the public. And for all our listeners, when you're driving by Camp Ripley on Highway 10, if you're here during the day, during 7 days a week in the summertime, stop into the Minnesota Military Museum. Just follow the signs to the main gate. Tell them you'd like to go to the museum, and they'll show you how to get here. And it's worth a stop. And as the commissioner said, it's a great opportunity to spend some quality time with your grandchildren.
That's right, Commissioner? Excellent, yes.
Commissioner joining us in this segment, I call him the commander, but he's the president of the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans of America, Jim Fisher. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. It's a really honor to be here for this special occasion.
Earlier today, you and I were over with Doug and the commissioner, and we were looking at that exhibit, not quite done yet, but he'll have it done by the 18th, and it's coming together pretty nice, isn't it?
It's beautiful. I really, really enjoy the uniforms and all of the stories about these individuals. Vietnam War is full of nothing but story. Everyone did something different. It took quite a team effort for the whole thing to work. And we have to remember how many hundreds of thousands of veterans went through that war.
And Jim, when we had you on the show last, you were telling us that you were an engineer, and you served a long tour.
I served 2 years in a combat engineer unit as a heavy equipment operator attached to the 1st Division, and saw plenty of things, good things and bad, and have a lot of stories of my own. So,
and for some reason, you extended your stay over there.
Extended the stay rather than to go back and polish boots and clean brass and that sort of thing. I felt I was doing something productive during that time, and that's why I stayed there.
So, Jim, what struck you first when you saw part of the exhibit this morning?
The very first thing were the several maps that were around that kind of showed where troops, as a member of a VVA, I've learned where everyone was and what everyone did. And, you know, generally when you were in Vietnam, you didn't move more than about 10 or 15 miles one way or another. You were there for your whole tour and just experienced a little spot in Vietnam. And you hear about all the stories of where everyone else was, doing probably just about the same thing, but just in another different area.
And what part of Vietnam were you in, Jim?
I was just north of Saigon, again attached to the 1st Infantry Division, just between there and the Cambodian border.
And Commissioner, you were there before we were. What area of Vietnam were you in?
I was in Tu Cor, Quyen Province, An Yan District, junction for the Vietnam Vets, junction of Highway 1 and 19.
What year was that, Jim?
That was 1970.
So Jim was there first.
You went. Yeah.
67 through 69. I left in November of 69, and my unit rotated out in March of 1970. So.
And, of course, I was in Cameron Bay and one of the last men to leave on May 15th, 1972, when we closed the gates.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting time, too.
Yeah.
But that was the maps. The uniforms got me. Doug did a nice job of putting together quite a few uniforms over there.
Yes, very, very nicely done, yes.
And I hadn't seen a flak vest like that for a long time, Jim.
No, I saw some boots with some shine on them there. We didn't see many shiny boots over there either.
We'll have to scuff those up before we leave today. Commissioner, was there anything that particularly stood out to you when you went in the exhibit?
Well, the maps. I have a captured VC flag in my personal collection. I've got a Czechoslovakian first aid pouch in my private collection, and I'm still trying to.
Commissioner, Doug's making notes over there.
I know.
He's going to raid your house.
No, yeah, it's one of those things that is. I'm always going to do it, but it never seems to done, which is probably a message to a lot of Vietnam veterans out there. You know, it's time to continue the legacy and by getting a hold of the museum and so forth. And then another little bit of trivia I want to give to you. Max Belke, native out of Minnesota in the Alexandria area, of which we have a community-based outreach clinic named after him, is the officially documented last enlisted soldier out of Vietnam during the war, you know.
Last.
And he also was killed when on 9/11 because he was working as a civilian at the Pentagon. So there's a lot of Minnesota ties that go in multiple venues, I guess.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're up at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls today, learning about the new Vietnam 50th Anniversary exhibit opening on July 18th this year. And, Jim, I imagine you're going to tell all of your Minnesota Vietnam veterans about this and get as many of them up here on July 18th as we can.
I've already put the word out a couple of times. My secretary has gotten the word out to all of our members. We have 1,250 members statewide, and plus, of course, all the other Vietnam veterans that are in this state. We must remember that this is the beginning of the 50-year anniversaries. For the next 10 years, we'll have 50-year anniversaries of battles, of operations, and 50-year anniversaries of over 58,000 men who and women who lost their lives in Vietnam.
And the commissioner's been reminding us about that for several years, including mm-hmm. the ride we did a few years ago.
Yes, in fact, you're going to have Colonel St. Sauver on a little bit later, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And he's just needs to be. One of the most impressive days was when he had welcome home for the Vietnam veterans. And I had the privilege of watching him as they got off the bus. And the emotions that went through there was just phenomenal. And it's all part of a healing process, you know. And events like this, the museum, the welcome home, all of those things are all pieces of the puzzle that we're putting back together to bring all of our veterans from whatever war all the way home.
And I would guess that as our Vietnam veterans get up here and look at the exhibit at the Minnesota Military Museum, they're probably going to bring along some things they picked up in Vietnam, and they're all going to look for Doug Becky, and and they're going to fill up his storerooms over there, Jim.
And there'll be a few guys that'll pick it apart here and there, and they'll say, yeah, no, it's not quite the way it happened, or this is the way it really did it, and you always hear that from them. One of the great things Vietnam veterans we've got to remember are the people who built this country over the last 30, 40 years. They were our commanding generals. They were our politicians, our mail carriers, truck drivers, all throughout the United States. So.
Jim, we got to stray just a little bit from the museum here because you've got a couple pieces of legislation you wanted to talk about before we were through.
I do. Right now, Vietnam Veterans of America is forefront in trying to pass the Toxic Substance Research Act. This act, if it's passed, will set up a research facility within the VA to study the effects of toxic substances on the offspring of veterans who are exposed. This, of course, has a lot to do with Agent Orange, but it also has to do with the toxic substances that veterans are exposed to in Iraq, Afghanistan, and wars to come. It's Senate Bill 901 and House Bill 1769. Please contact your senators and congresspeople and tell them to get on board with this.
Commissioner, it seems like every theater of war and every period, wherever we go, there's some issues like Agent Orange.
Yes. The burn pits is another example. I could tell you war stories about burning stuff, but we won't go there. But there's a lot of things that just when we send our young men and women into harm's way, there's multiple ways in which they could get harmed, and we need to make sure that they're well taken care of, and the nation is with them all the way.
Keep the promise. Let's take care of them.
Yes, and it's not because. One of the sad parts of the Vietnam era was a lot of people just agreed to forget about it.
We just let it go, didn't we?
Yep.
Jim, you've got another piece of legislation you want to talk about?
Well, the other legislation is the Blue Water Navy Act, in that we're trying to get the sailors who were off the coast of Vietnam aboard ship to be recognized as Agent Orange affected them, and to be compensated for diseases that they're picking up because of it.
And I understand that there was just some recent legislation that's covering some of the air crews that were in the 123s that weren't decontaminated when they went back. So you're getting some wins here and there, and we're getting people covered that were exposed to it.
We are. We're holding their feet to the fire, and it's not popular to go against veterans these days. So,
Jim, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I just want everyone to come up here and see this beautiful museum. I've been here before, and they've got a great, great Vietnam exhibit here, and I would welcome everyone to come up.
Jim, thanks for joining us today. Mm-hmm. Jim Fisher, the president of the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans of America, and we'll be back with Commissioner Shalado and Colonel Scott St. Salver in a moment from the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls. And remember, to come on up here for the 50th anniversary exhibit. The opening ceremony will be July 18th at 11 a.m. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we're at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls to learn about the Vietnam 50th anniversary exhibit, which opens July 18th this year. And the public's invited to come up, and my co-host for this show has been Larry Shalado, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we've got a special guest with us on the fourth segment here.
Oh, yes, we do. He is the ruler of Camp Ripley.
The camp commander.
I one of the things I learned very first when I came through the Minnesota National Guard off of active duty is when you go to Camp Ripley, what you need to do for annual training is pay a visit to the camp commander.
And the guy that lives in the nicest 53,000-acre house in the state.
But they have their own little kingdom. They rule, and if you mess with them, a lot of things could happen to you. So,
you know, Tom.
I think I better interrupt him, sir.
Yeah.
Colonel Scott St. Salver, the camp commander. We got to get the commissioner off of before
Holy
he gets
cow.
In trouble here.
You know, it's been a while. I love it when I see the general. And believe me, I can't imagine Larry coming out of my lips. So it's General Shalato to me. Always will be. And I remember when he gave me the job to come up here and be the commander of Camp Ripley. But, you know, he said his famous words, if you've ever heard the commissioner talk, his famous words to employees that work for him is, don't screw it up.
don't mess it up. Okay.
Okay, now we're even.
Well, our special guest in the fourth segment is Colonel Scott St. Salver, the garrison commander at Camp Ripley. And, Colonel, there's a lot of folks, a lot of our listeners, we're on 23 stations now all over Minnesota. And I think there's a lot of folks that don't know that civilians can come on the base. They can come to Camp Ripley and they can visit the museum.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we encourage it. We encourage people that have been driving up and down 371 their whole lives and wondered what was happening behind the fence. Stop and say hi. All you need is your driver's license. Just come to the gate. Tell them you want to see this great Minnesota Military Museum that's right here. Tell them you want to see let's look around the base a little bit. And you know, we'd be more than happy to have you on the base and to see what we do. Ask questions. Stop a soldier. See what they're doing. They'll be more than happy to talk to you.
And Colonel, you probably take it for granted a little bit because you live here and you're here all the time. But there's a lot to see at the Minnesota Military Museum, isn't there?
There is, yes. If you come on Camp Ripley and you don't – I hear this from soldiers from other states all the time. They come to Camp Ripley, and we always encourage them to go to the museum, and they say, well, gosh, it looks like such a little place. And from the outside, it might appear that way. But if you've ever been inside the Minnesota Military Museum, you realize it's everything but a little place. It is a phenomenal collage of exhibits of all of our Minnesota National Guard history. And it's spread across really this whole area one of our training site. And they're doing a tremendous job of bringing our history and lineage to our citizens and to all the currently serving soldiers that come through Camp Ripley.
And for the children, if you bring them up here, they can climb on tanks, they can see artillery pieces, they can see helicopters, they can see planes, and of course they can see inside the museum all of the different weaponry that's used from war to war and the different uniforms. I mean, there's a lot to see and do, and the commissioner told us it was a good opportunity to take his grandchildren mm-hmm. through there and yeah. tell them a little bit about what Grandpa did in the war.
Yeah, I agree, and you know that's a great point for all veterans and currently serving soldiers. As I just had my grandkids up here visiting, and you know, even though they're pretty small yet, 5 years old, you know, but you bring them over here and let them crawl and touch and feel. Number one, that's pretty important as a Minnesotan, right? We gotta crawl, touch, and feel everything, you know. So bringing them up and letting them experience that, it's pretty neat. But you watch out here in a day. One day, you will drive by, you ask Doug, you ask Jeff, you ask any of the folks that work here, you'll see as many adults, people our age, touching that equipment as you will kids touching that equipment, because it means that much.
Colonel, you have some recruiters wandering around out there trying to catch some young people inside.
I just had a group when I came in the door, a group of kids, I think their group leader said, hey, you're going to come over and give them a recruiting speech? And I said, well, you wait right there till I get done.
And Colonel, when our listeners come up here, the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery is right outside your gates, and we've had the artist on the show, but there's a couple of murals up there. I think there's going to be four when they're done.
There is, and Charles Kapsner, a local artist, one of the true fresco artists, painting artists that exists, lives right here in the community, and is doing a tremendous service to us and to all the citizens of Minnesota through his interpretation of our services, of all of our services. I believe he's working on the Coast Guard right now. The Army and the Navy are already hanging. And so number one, when you come onto Camp Ripley, when you come off 371 and you see our Veterans Cemetery, our State Veterans Cemetery, you'll be so proud, especially if you're a veteran. You will be incredibly proud that we pay that kind of homage, and it looks so perfect all the time. And the job that they do over there,
it
complements what we do. And in fact, Deb and I, my wife Deb and I, just went over and reserved a spot, got our spot, because that's where I want to be. I can't imagine being anywhere else but with my brothers and sisters.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're up at the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley in Little Falls today, learning about the Vietnam 50th Anniversary exhibit that opens July 18th this year. Colonel, I want to talk a little bit about Camp Ripley. Every time we have you on the show, it seems like there's a lot going on, but you've had a really busy summer already.
It has. It's been a real busy summer, and it continues. We've done. We've been doing what's called an exportable combat training center for units for extreme readiness, getting ready for their ready years that we've changed now, you know, in these operational environment we're in. So next year, our 1st Brigade out of Minnesota is going to go out to the National Training Center in Fort Irwin. So they're doing all that train-up exercise right now. On top of that, we brought in a whole brigade from Nebraska who just finished up, and they just left. We have now in the field a brigade out of South Dakota. And as you are in and around today, you probably saw a C-130 come in today from Texas that's unloading soldiers from Ohio, and their equipment's rolling in through the gates from Ohio. And so we have, and we just, a unit from North Dakota just left. And we will continue the cycle all the way through the end of September into early October.
Commissioner, I thought this was a base for Minnesota and Iowa to train on. It sounds like it's the whole United States.
It's an excellent, excellent facility, but now he brought back an old memory. One of the questions when I was younger is, what's your throughput?
Oh, yes,
how many boots on the ground do you have at Camp Ripley and so forth? But also with the last conflicts in the last 10-some years with the what we call the CACTAF, the community out there, Camp Ripley was proactive and positioned itself to be a regional, if not national, training center. It's regional because you have the big bases of Fort Irwin's and so forth. But to go to those major ones, you have to do a lot of key train-up, and Camp Ripley has been identified, I believe, by other states as this is the perfect spot to train our people to prepare them to be successful.
Colonel, you've told us in the 5 years we've been on the air, you've been on the show quite a few times, but there's been a lot of activity up here in terms of building and improving the camp, and it's got to be one of the premier training bases in the United States now.
It most certainly is. We've been identified as a regional training center through the National Guard Bureau system. You know, there's about 6-7 of these large installations in the Guard that allow us to do that. So we do a lot of that regional work, and that's exactly what we should do, as well as the interagency work we do with all of our civilian partners.
And, Colonel, we've talked about this before, too, but this is a state asset.
It is.
And it's not only used by the military, but it's used by the Highway Patrol, and it's used by the Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of agencies up here.
I have the assistant commissioners of all of the state departments here today, actually looking at new capabilities. The Department of Corrections has really expanded their training up here, and that's exactly what we want to do. We want to be available for our state agencies to train.
And coming up this fall, you've got some hunts coming up, don't you?
We always do. You know, they're my favorite thing of the year. You know, right now we're in the heart of fishing season, which is kind of close to me as well. But the hunts coming up is always wonderful for me because, you know, when this new exhibit that's opened up is about Vietnam veterans. But I'll tell you, when I see those Vietnam veterans, and I love what the commissioner said, and I love what the president said, it's storytelling. What Doug said, you heal through telling stories, and you do not heal in mass. You heal one at a time. So every one of those stories is important, where they tell them, how they tell them, and in what context they tell them in. So whether it's at the museum, whether it's at sharing a story with a veteran at a hunt, at a deer camp, all of those are important to all of us currently serving soldiers and veterans for healing.
Well, Colonel, thanks for hosting us up here today on Minnesota Military Radio. And Commissioner, we've got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about the Vietnam exhibit?
First, to Doug Becky and crew, thank you. I know it's been communicated over a number of times, and it's a labor of love, and it's key that way. So I encourage all the Vietnam veterans, if not for yourself, for your family, but take the time to come and take a look and reflect. It's extremely important, and you will be pleased, I believe that's the right word. So do it.
Commissioner, thanks for joining us today. And Colonel St. Sauber, good to see you again.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
We're just about out of time. We've got two mentions today. If you or your fiancé are in the military and planning a wedding, Angelique's Bridal is hosting their 8th Annual Military Extravaganza Sunday, July 19th from noon to 4 o'clock. Angelique's Bridal is giving away free bridal gowns to the first 100 military couples to submit their love story. For more information, go to angeliquesbridalsalon.com. And then lastly, many of you heard about No Barriers Warriors on our program last year, a nonprofit that serves wounded warriors through outdoor experiences. Join No Barriers on August 8th for a day of challenge and inspiration at Fort Snelling Base Camp that includes rock climbing, rope courses, and team building exercises. Learn more at NoBarriersChallenge.com. And of course, don't forget the opening ceremony of the Vietnam 50th anniversary exhibit at the Minnesota Military Museum on July 18th. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Doug Becky, Jim Fisher, Colonel Scott St. Sauber, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we find out what's new at the Minnesota Humanities Center and learn the basics of PTSD. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.